now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Texture at 1070-10 saying the question is, when is a person a human? I know, Texter, I spent like 40 minutes talking about that on yesterday's show. If you missed it, I would encourage you to check the podcast. We are going to move on for the moment to a new topic, though, and we'll go back to open lines coming up after the commercial break, as we normally do. Cooler, wetter June expected across British Columbia, as we have seen. Warmer conditions returning, though, as we make the transition in July. As all of you have no doubt noticed, British Columbia's spring was a lot colder and wetter than normal so far. That's expected to persist throughout this month, and it has. But now that we're at the end of June and the heat has returned, well, we all saw it yesterday. If you're out in the West Shore, the air didn't quite look right. What is that? What's going on? It looks kind of bluey, kind of hazy. Well, wildfires are back on the agenda in terms of something that all of us need to stand vigilant for and watch out for. Here with the latest, we're joined by Fire Information Officer with the Coastal Fire Center, Julia Caranchi. Thank you so much for your time. Good morning.
Good morning. You're welcome.
Now, I know that there's been a lot of rain up until this point. Anybody whose job is to mow the grass knows that the plants are loving it. Everything's green. Everything's lush. But summer conditions are upon us on the South Coast once again, which means the risk of fire, I suspect, is on the rise. What are we seeing?
Well, what I can say is that certainly that ridge of high pressure that moved over the coast this weekend and into yesterday did accelerate the drying of fine fuels in the forest. And that, in turn, did increase the fire danger rating in our jurisdiction, including Vancouver Island, where the fire risk has risen up to moderate and even in the high range in some areas. However, as we can see today, there is some rain and cooler temperatures expected to return today and tomorrow, and that will likely mitigate these readings. But I did want to add that over the last couple of days, the other thing we have seen is what's called an outflow pattern, which means that drier air from the interior was moving over the coast, which brought the relative humidity down lower than it would otherwise have been. So that accelerated that drying process. But this pattern is expected to shift today back to a normal, more regular inflow pattern, and that should help to bring that cooler, moist air over us from the ocean. You know, weather is a really important factor in influencing fire behavior, as we all know.
When we take a look at the forecast, how far in advance can we actually see? Because we know it'll be today, probably this week, but beyond that, how certain can we be?
We can't be absolutely certain. I mean, what I can say is we have fire weather forecasters, and their job is to predict as far into the future as they can for us. But we receive our forecasts, like most everyone does, you know, up to that about 6 day, and then after that, we need an update. So right now, we're seeing going back to that more unsettled, slightly lower than seasonal temperatures over the next couple of days, possibly a ridge reek of high pressure into the weekend, and then possibly back into that cooler, wetter weather, but we can't for sure predict that as of yet.
What is the message you would like to leave with our audience today as we return to warmer, hotter, drier conditions? Many of us could be under the false impression that we are safer and more insulated from fire risk because of all the rain that we used to have.
Well, that's very true. I guess, you know, my message to folks would be, and I wanted to bring this up anyway, that while we don't have any burning prohibitions or a campfire prohibition in place right now, because we are expecting this precipitation, we are going to be reassessing that. You know, now is the time to be reassessing these things on a week-by-week basis. So we'll be reassessing that next week. So I guess the first thing, most important thing is, please keep an eye on the bcwildfire.ca website. You know, please keep yourself informed and download that app to your phone, the BC Wildfire app. It's very informative. We are seeing that risk going up. I mean, it happens every year around this time. And so even though you can't have a campfire, we're asking people to use fire responsibly. I think that's a message we really need to get out right now. So that means if you're going to have a campfire, I mean, we have a big camping weekend coming up, as everyone knows, this weekend, probably one of the biggest of the year. We ask that people keep your campfire small, you know, ensure you have a fuel brick around it. Do not leave it unattended. Have your tools on hand, your water, to extinguish it. Never leave it unattended, and do not leave the area until it is put out, till it is cool to the touch. We really count on and appreciate the public supporting us by being responsible with fire, and it's important to remember that all human-caused wildfires are completely preventable.
Julia Cranchy, Fire Information Officer with the Coastal Fire Center. As British Columbia, well, expects hotter, drier conditions, finally, as we move into July from the month of June. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye now. There we go, folks. Quick break. Open lines after this. 250-386-1161.
Keeping you informed, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Doing our best at 250-386-1161. I've got Christine up next. Hey, Christine, how you doing?
Good morning, Adam. I've been listening to you ever since you've been on CFAX.
Well, thank you for that.
And I really appreciate all your comments and your thoughts, even though maybe sometimes I don't agree with them all.
You know, that's the fun part, is when we disagree on things, Christine, because we learn from each other.
I know, that's the idea. When you speak with people, that's free education as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Now, my topic today is the speed limits.
Yeah.
Okay, when I come, like right now with COVID, I've only go as far as uptown, and I live out in Brentwood Bay.
Yeah.
So coming off the highway, it's 80 kilometers, right?
Okay.
And then I turn left onto I don't know the name of the road, but onto West Saanich. I end up to West Saanich Road,
yeah.
And the speed limit drops to 50.
Yeah.
And then it goes up to 60, and then it drops down to 40, mm-hmm. and then it drops down to 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, if they're going to change speed limits, it's worked so well where the area that I live, that we get so used to looking at this, but all, like the speed signs, and change accordingly. But if you do it with 10 kilometers at a stretch, it'd be a lot easier.
Mm.
That you could, especially when there's school zones involved and a lot of crosswalks,
yeah.
Then it could be 30 kilometers. But other than that, I think it would be very difficult for most passenger or drivers, excuse me, to drop from 80 down to 30. Or wherever they're coming from.
Do you think they disobey, or do you think, what do you think would happen?
Oh, well, I think from what I can gather, well, I mean, I've been driving for over 60 years, so maybe I shouldn't tell, but that tells you how old I am.
That's okay.
But regardless, one thing good about it, when I was in high school, at night, they had driver, like I went to a professional Broadway driving school,
mm-hmm.
and if they did that with, before you get your driver's license, everybody take a professional driving school course, perhaps everybody would be more prudent on what they should be doing and how they should be driving.
Hmm. You know, that might be part of it, Christine. That might be part of the solution. Because the issue here is we don't want anybody to get hit and killed. We
no.
want our roads to be a safe place for everybody. How do
yep.
we do that? That's an open question.
Well, the idea is to educate people, and I firmly believe in education. And because I had the education when I was still going to high school, because the option was there, they had courses at night for students. If you want to go, if you're going to drive, they suggested we take this driving course, even though it costs us extra money, like because it's out of our own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I figured if I'm planning to drive, why not learn how to drive properly?
You know what?
That's
a smart way to do it, Christine.
Well, I haven't had a traffic accident ticket or everything all the years I've been driving.
Well, it shows then.
Yeah, well, that's right. So that's what I'm saying. Education is the key. So perhaps if the municipality can talk to the government, the provincial government or whoever, I think they are in charge of the Motor Vehicle Board, that perhaps incorporate having people, if they want a driver's license, you have to go to pass all the courses in the professional driving course before you get your license.
Christine, thank you so much for the input. I appreciate
it. Yeah, and thank you very, very much for being who you are. I enjoy you every morning.
I can't be anybody else, even if I tried.
Oh, no, well, you're perfect. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. 250-386-1161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. Texter writes, morning, Adam, about 30 kilometers per hour speed zones. What's the difference if my kids and their friends are playing outside at school or in the front yard? Seems logical that if it's safe to drive at 30 past a fenced-off school with supervisors, we could drive the same speed when those children go home. I think it has to do with the likelihood that a child will find themselves on the road or running towards the road near the school or crossing that road to get to that school versus your home. And I think it's just to do with concentration, Texter. You know, you got 300 kids at a school that all have to get to that school somehow, morning drop-off and afternoon pickup, versus your house, who I doubt has 300 kids that have to attend and then leave every day. So probabilistically speaking, the number of kids at any given time that might be crossing the road to either make egress or, anyway, just go to or from, sorry, tripping over my own words here, your house would probably be a lot lower than a school. The idea is concentration. We know that there's a high probability of kids on the road near the school because they have to get there and they have to get home somehow every day. We know that there's hundreds of them will attend that same building, hence the school zone was invented. Your house, probably only two or three. So out of the entirety of the day, you're going to have those two or three max, I would suspect, probably only come and go once, maybe twice. The odds of them being in the road in front of your house at any given time are far lower than any one child being out in the road in front of any school at a given time, if that makes sense. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Bad area for reception when you get to a better place. Well, first, not that I ever agree with many things that Richard says, but some things, you know, he has a point. But I appreciate his apology. It was sincere. Falling over my words. I appreciate that you give him open line to express his opinion. That's democracy.
Pretty much, it's to make anything bad that I say sound tame by comparison.
Well, then I don't appreciate that.
I didn't think you would. Well, he brags about being
freedom of speech.
Well, he brags about being banned, and he says, "Oh, you're so afraid of my ideas." I'm not afraid of them. I just think they're really offensive.
Some of them, yeah. I'm sure some people think some of my opinions are offensive, but as I said, and I'm sure he would agree, and most other people agree, they're opinions. You don't have to like them. You don't have to take them in. They're opinions, plain and simple. Let's leave that alone. That's not even really why I phoned.
Good idea. Thank you.
You have a participant to the program that phones in all the time, and I think that it would be a good idea for when Ron comes to town, for you to have him on air. He does our pop culture thing. He's coming clear across the continent. And, you know, I think it would make a highlight of his trip, maybe his life. He's a harmless man. I think he means very well by people, and people enjoy him. And we've basically brought it to the point where he has a segment every Friday. So I think... I know you don't like to bring people into the studio, but, you know...
Well, actually, we haven't for a long time in terms of... We've had one guest in studio in the past 817 days, and it was Charlene Thornton Joe, and it was a big deal. So I'm not even sure what the rules are in terms of having members of the public
come into
it.
I'm sure there's a way of doing it where, you know, social distancing and that happens and that. But he loves you. He loves this town. And he loves doing his trivia, and you've endorsed that, and you've given him basically a segment. I really think that he should be on the air for, you know, whatever it is he does, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Well,
you know,
we'll see.
Highlight to his trip here.
We'll see what happens, Kevin. I don't want to promise something I can't deliver, but we'll see what happens.
Appreciate that. All right. Thanks for taking my call. Oh, one more thing. Can I say hi to everybody at Kevin's work?
At Doug's work.
Thanks. No, Kevin's work.
Oh.
My work.
I see. Okay.
Thanks.
That's
right.
Doug's thing.
What's that?
That's Doug's thing.
Well, no.
What, are you going to do like a pop? You going to do a pop culture update next?
No, God,
I'm just
no.
Teasing.
I'm not into pop culture. I'm working too much.
All right, fair enough. Neither am I, to be fair. Texter at 107010 writes, Adam, who cares what the speed says? It only matters if it's enforced, says Peter. And there is something to be said for that. And... you know, quite frankly, we do have stepped up enforcement outside school zones because we know that kids are going to be attending that area with much greater frequency than any individual structure anywhere else in the city. Texter 107010 writes, hi, Adam. Here's one for conversation. There are zodiac signs painted on the crosswalk at Government and Fisgar. Just saw a write-up about it. The texter thinks they look awful. They're a waste of money and wrong. Well, that's certainly an opinion that you can have. They are the... trying to think. I actually do know the story behind those. It was Charlene Thornton Joe. I believe saw a similar crosswalk, I want to say in New York, years ago, I think, and asked staff about it. And I think that's where that came from. So it's right by Chinatown. It's right by the Gate of Harmonious Interest. And my understanding is those symbols have particular importance because they're not just any zodiac. It's the Chinese zodiac. And it's appropriate because that's the crosswalk towards Chinatown, is my understanding for the reasoning of why that's there, Texter. Does that context change your view at all? Because it might, because if that's just out in the middle of nowhere with no context, you're right. It's like, what is this? Why am I seeing animals on my crosswalk? This doesn't make any sense. When you realize, though, that it's the animals of the Chinese zodiac towards the Gate of Harmonious Interest that you will see in pictures of this at Victoria's historic Chinatown, indeed one of the oldest Chinatowns, I think, in the country, if not on this coast. I'd have to double-check that. Probably not in the country because the East Coast was settled hundreds of years before the West Coast. But you know what I mean. It's not necessarily out of place. At least I wouldn't think so. Yeah, you can agree or disagree, though. Let's go to Riga. Hey, Riga, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Adam.
Sure.
No, I'm doing great. I heard one of your callers on the air talking about physics, and that's like, you know, I went to math camp. I got a Gauss medal for math, so I had to call in.
I had a trophy in high school for the math award.
I was in the top 1% of the Math Olympics because I'm a mathlete.
Oh.
So I can actually say one time at math camp and be serious. I wanted to talk about physics because you were talking.
Hold
about...
on just one sec. Hey, can anybody in the 3500 block of Shelbourne Street, law enforcement, anybody else, can you tell me if there's a police incident happening there and what it might involve? I've gotten some texts and some tweets from some concerned people who are in their homes again. 3500 block of Shelbourne Street. Can anyone provide any information to me about that, please? And thank you. Anybody out there listening, text me at 107010. Sorry, Riga, you can continue.
Oh, no, I just wanted to really quickly, because you guys have talked about so many interesting things today, and I only have a few seconds. So I just wanted to say that, you know, I was a crossing guard at Margaret Jenkins Elementary, and I got hit twice, once by a truck, once by a van. And as a driver, I used to work for young drivers. I worked for, you know, lots of places where I had to drive as my job. And I have small children. And I would never be able to live with myself if I ever, ever hit a child with my vehicle. And so for me, when I get in a vehicle, I look at what the safety features are of the vehicle itself, what the road conditions are, what the weather is, and I have to be aware of my surroundings so that I can be a safe vehicle operator. But when it comes to the speed limits, I know for a fact that the roads are engineered for a set speed, and that's why those speeds are set to those speeds, because the centrifugal forces, when you overcome the coefficient of friction and you start moving an object, which is your vehicle, it has to maintain a certain velocity in order for the forces on the vehicle to allow you to have control of that vehicle. And when you constantly change speed, depending on what you're driving, like right now I have an F-150 with a camper weighed down on the bed, it's very difficult to brake and accelerate and maintain a speed and stop and go traffic between 13 municipalities, yeah, right?
That's a good point. Riga, thank you so much for the benefit of your experience on this. Somebody's reminding me, and this actually makes perfect sense. Apparently, San Francisco is the oldest Chinatown in North America. Downtown Victoria's Chinatown is the second oldest. And of course, this actually makes sense because of the Pacific Ocean. I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, colonization happened in the east, so why wouldn't it happen there? It's because China would be on the other side of the world. So the easiest way to get here in terms of oceanic transport would be on the Pacific coast, which means that it wouldn't happen until the Pacific coast was heavily populated and colonized. We didn't have Roderick Finlayson and James Douglas sail into Victoria, or what would become Victoria, until 1843. So that actually makes perfect sense. So yeah, we are the oldest Chinatown in Canada. San Francisco was older, I'm told. And that makes perfect sense. My apologies. I was just sort of thinking out loud there. And I had been told that, but I didn't want to say that it was the oldest in Canada without actually having it printed in front of me, because I second-guessed myself. But that makes perfect sense that we would be. And again, why would there be on the East Coast sooner? Because China's further away, because you'd have to circumnavigate the entire globe to get there. That was why the ships actually sailed from Europe and ran into Canada without realizing what it was in the first place. It's like you go to Quebec and Lachine. What is that? It literally means China. Of course, it wasn't China, but that's what they were looking for, which makes sense. Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, we are hearing some concerning information. I'm getting text messages here. I don't want to scare anybody, but we are getting some concerning texts here about a police incident on Shelbourne Street. I want everybody to take care in that particular area. And we are waiting for more information on this. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get the latest from the newsroom. And we're going to continue trying to figure out what is going on in the 3500 block of Shelbourne Street. Let's take a break and go to the newsroom now.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, I just want to let everybody know Saanich Police have issued a tweet saying multiple officers have responded to a police incident, as you were just hearing, in the 3600 block of Shelbourne Street. Please avoid the area. I'm also getting a number of texts and tweets of people hearing things in and around that area. They don't know what it is, but the people who are texting me and tweeting me are asking me if it's gunfire. I don't know. We don't know. What we do know is that something is happening in that area, and you, the members of the public, have been asked to avoid the 3600 block of Shelbourne Street for the moment while Saanich Police and law enforcement deal with an incident in that area. Again, I cannot confirm at this time exactly what is happening, but we're getting a lot of texts and a lot of tweets coming in all at once. And we're going to endeavor to get more information for you as this incident unfolds. But what we can confirm for you is there is a police incident in that area, and police are asking you to stay away from that area if at all possible. You can draw whatever inferences from that that you wish. And keep it locked on CFAX 1070. We'll have the latest information for you as it becomes available. What are we doing right now? I'm sorry, folks. I'm just ensconced in this. Yes, of course. 1 year after the heat dome. We began today's show by talking about 1 year later on the heat dome. We talked about the heat wave that we were experiencing right now.
A wave of heat has been...
We talked about BC ambulance paramedics still suffering trauma from what happened to them during the last heat dome.
And is that there was a number of times where people were trying to access 911 to call for an ambulance, and the transfers were delayed because of not enough... dispatcher.
What about damage to the natural world itself? A year after the heat dome event that killed billions of plants and animals here in British Columbia, yes, billions with a B, scientists say ecosystems are recovering but could be transformed forever if such events become more frequent. Our guest is UVic biology professor and president's chair, ocean ecology and global change, Professor Julia Baum, joining us. Thank you so much for your time, Professor. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Billions of animals died during the heat dome. I did a double take as I read that because it sounds too huge to be real, but in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. What happened?
Right. Well, when we're talking about billions of animals dying, we know that animals in all sorts of different ecosystems were impacted by the heat dome, but the most vulnerable ones and the ones where they were most impacted were on our rocky coastlines. So species that live in the marine intertidal, mm-hmm. organisms like mussels, oysters, barnacles, those types of things were just sitting and baking in the sun. And those organisms are really amongst the most vulnerable for a couple of reasons. So first of all, they're living at this very vulnerable, you know, in this very vulnerable transition zone. So they're basically living at the right at the interface between our ocean and the land. And when the tide goes out, and they're on these rocky shores, they're just sitting baking in the sun. So it's the same as if, you know, on a hot day, like maybe this weekend, when it was really hot and stepped out during the day in bare feet on cement and felt how hot that cement was. That's basically what they're experiencing. And then the second factor for those types of organisms is that they're sessile. So they aren't able to get up and walk away, right?
Yeah.
And so during the heat dome last summer, temperatures in that rocky intertidal rose up to 50 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
So all of those organisms just baked to death, and that we have pretty good estimates from certain, you know, stretches of beaches and where we can estimate how many mussels and barnacles and oysters died in those stretches, and from those extrapolate up to this estimate that at least several billion died during the heat dome.
All right. Again, folks, we're following an active police situation right now, 3,600 block of Shelbourne. We're working to hammer out details, but what I'm seeing right now, please stay away from that area if you can. 3,600 block of Shelbourne, active police incident. My understanding is additional departments are responding to that area at this time. 3,600 block of Shelbourne Street. Saanich Police have confirmed an active incident. They're asking members of the public to please stay away from that area at this time. Our guest is Professor Julia Baum, UVic biology professor, president's chair, ocean ecology and global change. Our apologies, Professor. We have this unfolding news incident happening right now. I want to ask you, in terms of replenishment and in terms of the numbers of these animals that may have been harmed and indeed died during the heat dome, who are not able to, of course, reproduce after that. Are we seeing diminished populations this year, or have they replenished themselves?
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic question, and one that we're all just our summer field seasons are just starting, and that's what we're all, as marine ecologists, trying to get a handle on. So we also, apart from those marine invertebrates, also saw widespread losses of all of our seaweed communities. So just like corals can bleach when it gets really too hot, seaweeds also bleached, and then a lot of them died. So marine ecologists across the province are just getting out for their summer field seasons, and we're all looking for signs of recovery or repair, or is there ongoing damage? But I think the processes of repair is going to be one that takes several years, and there's still lots of unknowns. So one of the things that I'm doing is leading a large working group where we're trying to pull together observations from across not just the province, but also other areas that the heat dome impacted, so Washington State and Oregon State, and just get people to send us their observations of what happened. Because, of course, when these types of extreme weather events crop up, we don't have a lot of preparation for going out and studying them. So we're trying to pull together observations from across the entire breadth and just figure out, you know, what beyond these vulnerable marine invertebrates were impacted. And we're seeing impacts across lots of different ecosystems.
All right. Professor Julia Baum, thank you so much for your time. You're looking for more information from members of the public. How can they submit that information?
Yeah, they can. let me think about that. If they're on Twitter, they can tweet me at baum@uvic. Or Bomb Lab, or I'm not sure I want to give my email out. Yeah,
fair enough, and I completely understand, Professor.
They take contact, look me up and contact me. I'm pretty publicly available.
All right. Thank you so much for the benefit of your knowledge and insight and for the important work that you're doing in better understanding this phenomenon, Professor. As the world and the climate continues to change around us, it is of paramount importance, in my view, that we understand the long-term impacts on ecosystems, including marine life here in BC and others. Anything else you'd like to leave with us today?
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And thank you so much for making time and space for this important issue. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. Have a good day.
You
Bye
too.
Now. All right, folks, I'm getting a lot of texts. Multiple police departments, it would appear, responding to an incident 3,600 block of Shelbourne. I'm hearing Bank of Montreal on Shelbourne has been referenced by a number of different texts that I'm getting from different phone numbers. I'm getting texts from people who are there on scene. If you're there on scene, give us a call. I'd love to hear what you're seeing right now. 250-386-1161. Let's go to a commercial break while we wait for those calls to come in.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Actually, you know what? Kevin texted me and pointed out what I said. Folks, if you're in the area of the 3600 block of Shelbourne Street right now, rather than call me, I don't want you to be there. If you're able to avoid that area, you should do so. There's an active police incident in the 3600 block of Shelbourne Street. I had somebody ask me, what's the nearest crossroad to 3600 block of Shelbourne Street? I'm typing it into Google Maps right now because I don't want to give you incorrect information. Pear Street. The 3600 block of Shelbourne Street is where you'll find the intersection of Pear Street. That's just south of where the Scotiabank is and the liquor store and, you know, the mall, Shelbourne Plaza, Fairway Market and all of that. That's where the 3600 block of Shelbourne Street actually begins. So that's what we're actually talking about right now in terms of that specific information. I've had some people suggest to me that it's the Bank of Montreal that could be the center of this incident. That would be at the corner of Shelbourne and Elm Street. Again, so that's just across the street from the mall where the fairways and whatnot is. So if you can avoid that area, you are asked to do so. However, that's an exceedingly busy area. It's an open public mall. There's a lot of stores there. And it's also on a major thoroughfare in terms of Shelbourne Street itself. So that's where this police incident right now is taking place. Texter says, I live on the corner of Church and Shelbourne, multiple officers with rifles at the intersection of Church and Ophir. A texter says, daughter drove by the accident, saw a cop with a rifle, lots of police and ambulances. I assume the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team, GVERT, will be responding to this if it hasn't done so already. I would expect that the Teradyne Gherkin Armored Rescue Vehicle will also be on scene. Folks, if you can avoid this area, please do so. Police officers will need to deal with this situation. And the last thing anybody wants, because we've got reports, people say that they've heard popping. I'm not confirming at this time that there have been any firearms discharged. We do not know that, but I've had multiple text messages from different phone numbers, people in that area all telling me that they heard what sounded like loud popping. That is indicative of what could potentially have been gunfire. If that is true, you don't want to be there. So if you can avoid this area, please do so and allow our law enforcement professionals the time and the space that they need to hopefully safely defuse this particular situation. That is the best thing that I can tell you right now. Response from multiple departments. A texter writes to me, would only be happening hypothetically for situations such as shots fired. I agree. Texter, I agree. And I've got people texting me the number that they think they heard. Again, I'm not confirming this. I don't want rumors out there scaring anybody. What I am telling you, though, is that police have asked us to all avoid this area, and I have eminent reason to believe that we should comply with those directions immediately. I don't want anybody to get hurt. Let's let the professionals deal with this. Hopefully everybody's ending up safe at the end of the day, including any suspects taken into custody. Let's go to Patrick on open lines. Patrick, you're on the air. How you doing?
Good.
Oh, I can't hear you. No, you're breaking up.
Is that better?
That's better right there.
Okay. I have more information about Chinatown.
Yeah?
The China that created Victoria is Chinatown. It was proximity to San Francisco.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense because the ships went back and forth, right?
Yeah, well, during the gold rush of 49 in San Francisco, the Chinese opened a lot of businesses down there.
Mm-hmm.
When their gold rush ended and ours started, a lot of them moved to Victoria to start business.
That makes sense. Oh, you're breaking up. Hey, Patrick, I'm going to let you go. You're in and out there, but that actually makes a lot of sense. Somebody texted me, 1070-10, saying they see ambulances on scene right now. Saw two ambulances quickly leaving the scene. A texter writes, hope everyone is okay. Again, we'll wait for an update from Saanich Police Department before we take any additional steps on this. Again, I am not confirming at this point that shots have been fired. What I am telling you is that I've got a lot of people with different phone numbers all saying they heard something that sounded a lot like that a short time ago in this area. We are continuing to send officers to Shelbourne Street at Pear Street. Please avoid the area. Saanich Police Department tweeting out just a moment ago. The best thing all of us can do, folks, to remain safe is to comply with those directions and avoid that area if at all possible. Somebody says, where are we to avoid? Just missed it. Shelbourne at Pear Street, right across. It would be on the west side from where that mall is. You know, the mall with the fairways there. And on the west side, you'd have the McDonald's and you have a couple just up a block and a half away. That area, we're told, around the Bank of Montreal on Shelbourne Street, the center of some sort of police incident. I think this is Sabian. Hey, Sabian, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Adam. I'm still under the shock, but yes, you're right. Tell people to not go there. I was at the bicycle shop when everything happened.
Tell us what happened here. You're okay. You're okay now. You can slow down.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you injured?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine, but I saw two policemen get shot. And there's a dead body from the robber in the parking lot. It was just terrible. In Spanish, it's just like insane.
When did this happen? How long ago?
I would say maybe half an hour, maybe now. I don't know. I'm going home. I need a break.
Sabian, I'm sorry that this happened.
It's too hard to see.
Are you all right? Do you have any supports that you need? Are you, or if you're traumatized, if you're injured, I don't want you driving a car right now. It might not be safe.
No.
Okay?
I'm okay. It's just, you used to live in a small, peaceful area. And now everything that's going on and those poor policemen, you know.
Can you tell us anything about the circumstances that led up to it? What did you see?
But what I saw is they were keeping us in the store, and I was going to my truck to go back home. I stopped at the bicycle shop to get some parts, and they, at some point, we heard lots of gun going and people yelling, and people started screaming of pain, and we saw cops going down. It's like it was a freaking movie.
How did you get away?
Oh, we just stayed where we were. we went down, we went on the floor. It's like, you don't know what to do. You know, you don't expect that. You don't expect that never or nowhere. But when you're caught in it, it's just terrible.
All right. Sabian, I'm going to put you on hold for a sec, but can we get a number from you so we can call you back? Because this is sensitive information, and I don't want to pry, or I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position with the entire city listening, but we want to hear more about this. Is that okay if I put you on hold and we get a phone number for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. I'm really sorry this happened, Sabian, and I want to thank you for calling in and sharing this with us. Again, folks, you're hearing shocking accounts that I don't even know what to say right now, other than if what I just heard is accurate, that our thoughts are with law enforcement in this city. And that would be consistent with what I'm hearing. I'm having people texting me from West Shore saying that they're seeing RCMP units at a high rate of speed heading towards this location. That's how far away. Sorry, I'm just looking at information coming in. And somebody says three RCMP units passed me on the Trans-Canada Highway as well, high rate of speed. Ambulance is leaving the area just after 11:35. This witness says they heard gunshots as well. Sabian, as you just heard, saw what appeared to be a shooting potentially involving multiple law enforcement personnel. That would be consistent with all of the information that we're seeing right now. I'm not quite sure what to do in this particular situation. I didn't know that's what Sabian was going to say as soon as we had him on the air. We have that information on Sabian? Okay, so we were able to get that information on Sabian. Sabian, I want you to drive safe. I want you to take care. And I'm very sorry that you were just forced to go through that situation. If what we have just heard is accurate, it seems to be a very serious situation, folks. Again, with a traumatic situation like this, what somebody sees in the moment might not necessarily reflect what actually happened. So I don't want to jump to conclusions in terms of what the caller just said. We want to independently corroborate this and verify this. But the accounts that we are hearing are very concerning. And this is a live broadcast situation. I'm very sorry. I didn't expect that we would be in this situation as I started the show today. Jim is up next on Open Lines. Jim, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I can kind of fill you in at the front end of what went transpired.
Yeah.
I actually pulled through the bank parking lot, and there was no parking. And so I went across the street to go to the store. And then as I was doing that, there was one Sanj policeman in the bushes kind of facing the bank. And then there was another policeman across the street with his gun, his firearm out.
Yes.
So you knew it was pretty serious. And then that policeman then went across the street by Fujia. And then, again, he was telling people to back off. And by that time, there was only two policemen there. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the policemen started showing up. And like that other individual, I thought I'd watch for a bit. But I thought, no, this is starting to kind of look quite dangerous. So I got in my truck, and I was right across the street. And as I was pulling out, you could see there was more policemen, and then the shots started firing. It was actually quite alarming. And so then I left. And I was telling people to stay away, but you could tell by the policeman's demeanor, especially the one who had looked like a machine gun out, that was a very serious incident. And so, but there was multiple shots fired. But as I said, I departed at that point. So that was the front end of the scenario as I saw it.
Jim, we'd love to get some information from you as well off air. Is it okay if I put you on hold and put you through to our producer and Melissa and can get your number and we can contact you?
You bet.
All right. And Jim, I'm very sorry that you went through this traumatic situation. Thank you for helping all of us better understand it. And folks, if you are in this area, please avoid the area. We're hearing some very concerning details. Jim's back on hold now. And again, I'm sorry that all of you had to go through the situation. And our thoughts with law enforcement personnel, who we are now learning may have been in an extremely serious situation. We had a prior caller, Sabian, told us just a few moments ago that he saw what looked like police officers who had been shot again. We have not had an opportunity at this time to independently verify that. However, it would be consistent with the police response that we have seen from multiple departments, as well as the instructions that we, the public, have been given asking people to avoid that area. If one or more firearms had been discharged, that would present a risk to all members of the public in that area and would also justify, according to protocol, the multi-departmental response that we have seen here. Again, Bank of Montreal on Shelbourne, near the corner of Pear Street, the location in which this seems to have happened, multiple law enforcement officers on scene, multiple witnesses all telling us that they heard gunfire in that location, is what we can tell you at this time. It's been a while since I've been live on air as a developing situation like this happened, and I don't want to jump to conclusions or overly rely on any individual account to create a false impression of what may have happened in this situation, also out of sensitivity for any family members of anyone who may have been seriously injured or worse. Let's go next. It's Dawn on the air. Dawn, you're on the air. How you doing?
Not doing too bad. Hearing this all unfold, I'm heading north on Highway 17,
yeah,
and Sydney North Sanitary RCMP are headed in that direction as well, it appears, at a high rate of speed.
They're calling in everybody that they can, by the sounds of it. Dawn, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
All right. You have a good day. Sydney North Saanich RCMP, it sounds like, responding down the Pat Bay Highway. West Shore RCMP responding as well. My understanding is Victoria Police also responding to this particular situation. This would all be consistent with that awful scenario that you heard from caller Sabian and what he saw as a witness. We have the numbers we've recorded from both Sabian and Jim, and we're going to continue following this situation. We want to thank them for sharing what they heard. And again, I want to ask everybody, as the next couple of hours unfold, to please follow the instructions of any law enforcement personnel in that area, and please stay away from the 3600 block of Shelbourne Street at this time if you are able to do so until instructed otherwise by police officers. And I also want to extend my best wishes, because I don't know what happened yet. Caller Sabian, it sounds like he thought he saw people who had been shot and killed. That has not been confirmed at this time. But I want to extend my thoughts to every single first responder, every single law enforcement officer in this city who goes running toward the danger when the rest of us run away. We don't know what happened yet, so I don't want to jump to conclusions yet. However, there have been indications that what may have happened is extremely serious. I have 15 seconds left in the show today before my live broadcast ends. I don't know anything else at this time, but all of us are going to learn and process what happened together. And with that, we will take a quick break and we'll send you to the CFAX 1070 newsroom. Please stay safe today, everyone.